You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Parkinson's disease is a neurological movement disorder that progresses slowly. Now, some people will first notice a sense of weakness or difficulty walking and having stiffness in the muscles. Others may actually notice a tremor of the hand or the head. And Parkinson's is actually a progressive disorder, and the symptoms gradually worsen. In my Santa Monica clinic, I treat many neurological conditions, multiple sclerosis, dementia, as well as Parkinson's. And with proper care, patients with Parkinson's symptoms can be minimized or even completely stopped, arrested. So today we have Robert W. Smith, the author of The Parkinson's Playbook, a game plan to put your Parkinson's on the defense. He's been diagnosed with Parkinson's himself, and he is here to share his journey and recovery from this debilitating disease. Great to have you here on the show, Robert.
I'm glad to be here, too. Thank you.
So when were you diagnosed with Parkinson's?
I was diagnosed in 2006, and I had a tremor in my right hand. And my wife and I were watching TV, and she says, "Bob, why is your hand shaking? You ought to see a doctor." So that was the first clue that something was wrong.
Did you actually go to a doctor right away?
Yep. And I told him how I had been feeling, the tremors, and he asked me a number of questions, and I said, "You need to see the neurologist." So then the next week I booked a neurologist, and in about 5 minutes he determined I had Parkinson's. I had tremors. My facial expression was slack. All the telltale signs of Parkinson's.
Can you explain what you just said? You did have a tremor, but you had something regarding your facial expression.
Oh, lack of facial expression. You lose control of your muscles in your face. You can't control your smile. Like, I have to practice my smile to make up for the lack of dopamine that gets sent out to the muscles in the face.
And that's interesting. Your wife didn't notice that part.
No, she noticed the tremors first.
Mm-hmm. And then in 5 minutes, you're saying he diagnosed it, but without any forms of MRI or CAT scan, anything like that?
We did an MRI the next week, and that was probably the worst experience of my life. You're put in this tube and strapped down and can't move. And so I got in this tube, and after about 10 minutes, Parkinson's kicked in, and I couldn't control my shaking. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs, "Get me out of here. Get me out of here." And they kept going. I said, "Mr. Smith, we're almost done. Hold on for a few more minutes." And I gradually got worse and worse. I couldn't take it. So they unstrapped me, and I went out to the car, sat in the car, and I said to myself, "What do I do now? Do I go back to work or do I go home?" And that's when I knew my life was going to change. It was through that MRI. So when I got back to the office with the neurologist, he had all the negatives, and he looked at him and said, "Oh, nothing shows up." I didn't think anything would show up, and I thought, geez, here I went through all that MRI, and nothing came out of it. I should have had a sedative.
Do you think that the stresses of being in that situation triggered the reaction, you know, more of that symptomatology? Because I see that very commonly when my patients, when they're under more stress, emotional or mental or physical, which you had all three going into that machine, it triggered more of the reaction and the symptomatology.
I thought I was going to get, it's like a dentist office and you're getting x-rays and it's no big deal.
Right.
But I had no idea what an MRI was like.
You got to also think about the magnetic radiation that you get in the brain when that's happening. And that could have also just magnetic disturbances. This is, of course, frequency issue. Uh-huh. But let's go ahead and go into, you know, I heard something that was very important, I think, which is you felt like you were at a crossroads when you were in that car of yours.
Right.
You know, and I want to hear about what you felt inside and what triggered you to go the right direction?
After sitting in the car, I tried to just gather my thoughts and calm down. That was the hardest thing to do, was to get back to feeling like I was normal. But it never happened. The normal feeling never came back until I went further along and a number of years later with using the playbook. But I'm probably not answering your question that great.
No, I totally get what you're saying. You know, is that you at that moment did not feel good at all. You know, and a lot of people out there listening who may have Parkinson's right now or something similar, they go through the same emotions that you do.
Yeah.
Then did you end up getting medication? Because that's very common. My patients often come into my office with all this medication that the doctors have given them. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
No, I came into it with no medication prescribed prior. And the first Parkinson's drug I was put on was Requip, I think. And I had trouble with nausea. I couldn't function for several hours after I took it. And I take it in the morning about 8 o'clock, and it took until like 10 or 11 before I could get dressed and move to get to work. So clearly I was having issues with it. And we tried a number of other Parkinson's drugs. But it wasn't until we came onto carbidopa, levodopa, that I was able to function almost normally. It got rid of the tremors, and it helped immensely. The other drugs were dopamine agonists, because there's two classes of Parkinson's drugs, dopamine agonists and carbidopa levodopa. The dopamine agonist is more for essential tremors, and carbidopa levodopa works better with taking care of tremors.
So, you said something also that's interesting in your case, that the MRI did not show anything. Now, nope. I have cases where MRIs definitely show issues in specific areas of the putamen, substantia nigra, the amygdala area. You had nothing.
Well, from his read of it, I never got a second opinion of those negatives. Maybe in hindsight, that should be done.
You know, did you have any genetic, did anyone in your family ever have this in the past?
No, not at all.
Can you explain why it might have been that you got this? I mean, there's different reasons why Parkinson's can be triggered. Did you have any?
That's always the question I get. How did I get it? In high school, I worked at a garden center, and sold fertilizer and DDT and a lot of nasty chemicals. And for lunch, we'd take our lunch bag and go out and sit on the bags of fertilizer. And you'd be breathing all these fumes that were emanating from these all these chemicals and fertilizer packets. So I'd be in that environment day after day. And so later on, my wife and I started to think about what could have caused it. And that was probably one of the early ones that we think. So it's environmental. I'm a landscape architect, and a lot of the renderings we do for public presentations, we're using magic markers. Mm. You'd be filling these sheets with a lot of magic markers, and you're breathing the xylene. So I think that also contributed to Parkinson's.
I'm so glad you're talking about the environmental component, because with every one of my Parkinson's cases, multiple sclerosis cases, neurological conditions, every one of them have chemical exposure, some form of chemical exposure, whether it's pesticides, that was a biggie for a lot of my patients, pesticides,
yeah.
Whether it's mercury toxicity, whether it's mold mycotoxin toxicity. So the environment has everything to do with neurological issues. And you mentioned something about the magic markers. I am someone that would, you know, I talk about it all the time with my patients, because nowadays the Sharpie, I'm not here to badmouth Sharpie, but I don't at all like anything to do with Sharpies.
Yeah, I don't either.
And how about the schools now using those dry eraser boards? Those kids are sucking down these fumes, you know? So I'm really glad that you're making note of this. The magic markers have these VOCs, volatile organic compounds. Xylene is one of them. And we got to work on that. I use, if I have to, when I do lectures and I have to do it at where there's a board, I use a water soluble, and these are very non-toxic. They're not as dark, of course, in creating the, when I'm writing on them, but it works. It really works, and it's the best thing. So go on.
We started to transition into colored pencils and pastels, things that were not fuming. So that helped a lot, too, was to get people out of that environment. And we had a purifying box that cleaned the air.
Air purifier.
So that helped, too.
That's right. I have, I have air purifiers for my patients. And I recommend them to use it highly. The type of air purifier I have both the carbon charcoal and the HEPA filter, so you can get rid of the particulates. It's like dust and mold particles, but also absorb. The carbon is what absorbs the formaldehyde and xylene, styrenes, and the different types of VOCs and paint fumes, etc. So it's a good thing that you mentioned that you actually use that. Did you end up having to stop working?
I stopped working in 2011. And in 2010, I was on a drug called Meropex. And that accelerated some bad compulsive behavior patterns. And coupled with, for my work, I was traveling from East Coast to West Coast every other week for years. And so I couldn't effectively take care of keep me ahead of Parkinson's with the travel schedule I had, the work schedule, working 60, 80 hours a week. It was just too much. But the Meropex was the one that pushed me over the edge. I had gained 40 pounds, which is, I'm only a 5'5" frame. That's a lot of weight. It just changed my personality. And that's when things started to get worse with the family. And I was out of control for 6 months. And after I stopped work, I was able to take it, get out of that stressful environment. I was president of a firm that had 50 people in it, landscape architects. And so there was a lot of stress associated with work, but the travel made it horrible. I would come back from a trip after 4 or 5 days, and I'd be exhausted and have to sleep most of the next day. And then you work on the weekend to get ready to take off on Monday. So that made it really difficult to come up with a proper diet and exercise and all the things that help. And then laying Meropex on top of that made it 10 times worse.
What it sounds to me is that you just basically had a breaking point, and you decided not to work anymore so that you can take charge of your life and your body again.
Yeah, the company that I was part of, they had a disability policy on me for 3 years. And so that was one of the first things we did, was to fill out the forms and go through that process of getting on disability. And I learned a lot about insurance and insurance forms and how to fill them out, going through all that process. But that's what enabled me to stop work immediately. And so on February 11th, you'll never forget that day, I stopped work. And for the next month, I just slept. My body was beat. And so from the combination of travel and drugs and all the other things that were going on, that's when I started on this path using the outline that a friend developed for the playbook.
I like the way you wrote your book. And what I like about it is it uses sports terms.
Right.
Like playbook. Being on the defense, being on the offense, right? Things like that.
Yeah.
And I'd like us to talk about it a little bit so that our listeners can understand how important it is for you to structure your life, to heal your body.
When our friend, David and Gail Burnett, they helped put together the framework for the playbook. And initially it was called Bob's Broncos. And David knew that I needed something that I could relate to and something that I felt comfortable with, and make that into a fun routine that I could get into. So that was the roots of it, is I was a Bronco fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me something to relate to on offense and defense, and kept my interest in it. Because I was still, those first couple of years, it was a transition of getting all these things straight in my life. And having structure made the huge difference.
What I help, you know, my practice, Robert, is that I work within the most natural way to get the person back on track so that they can start to live again and feel the energy and vibrancy that they deserve. So the medications that they use, I don't change them, but often they don't need to use it as much. They can go down on their dose. I've had cases where they don't want to use medication at all. So that means that it's really important that we create a regimen and a game plan like you've got so that they can live the longest and healthiest life without having it progress into a debilitating condition where they end up having to be in hospitalization and all that. So
my transition was dramatic. People that didn't see me for 2 years were just, their jaws would drop and their eyes would bug out when they saw me. I was trim and slim and fit, and it's not very often that you go from the very bottom to what I felt was the top. And
that was all through exactly what? Food, exercise? Tell me your regimen there.
It was a number of things. Actually, one of the first things we did was I got a psychologist. And you know, most people don't realize the emotional and the mental part of this game is really important. And that was the first thing I did, was to work with a psychologist for, I was going like every 2 weeks, twice a week, or twice a month. And I did that for years because I needed the support and help to get over these compulsive behaviors I had prior, and how to adjust my life to these new conditions of Parkinson's. So a psychologist was number one for treatment for myself. And so then the next step was what we call Bowen therapy. And that's a technique that came out of Australia. And what it is, it's muscular therapy. So what my friend David does, if I have trouble with my hip or a part of my body, he would go in and manipulate the part that was a problem or an issue, and he'd roll the muscles. And then he'd leave the room, and he'd come back, and then he'd do the muscle on the opposing side. So he rolls his hands over my body and the muscle, and then he leaves the room again. And then he comes back a third time. And first thing I ask him, boy, you must have a weak bladder. You keep leaving the room. what he's doing is he's giving the muscle a time to adjust and change to the correct position and heal itself. And so that was eye-opening to do that. And so part of that was to align my spine, get my shoulders level, get my hips together, try to keep me walking from a duck like a duck. That enabled me to go into an exercise program, because I started out with an exercise program on my own, and that's not a good idea. You really need professional help. And so with this body that was now better suited for it, changes could happen quicker. So I had a yoga instructor that would do personal one-on-one training with me once a week, and then 3 days a week I would do a yoga class with cardio before or after. And then one day I'd be on my own for light weights and bike and treadmill. And I used a band a lot, a stretchy band.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was our next step. After that, we started looking at my diet and nutrition. And there's a lot of things I was doing. I was drinking too much alcohol. So I'm down now to just a third of a glass of white wine with dinner. And so that made a big difference. So cut down on alcohol, cut down on sugar, more balanced diet, eating some more brain-friendly kinds of foods, nuts, beets, lentils, oats. So that gave it another layer. So this continual layering that I was doing was making a difference. And then I started to incorporate supplements. And because I wasn't getting everything I need from food, I started with vitamin B and vitamin D, CoQ10, L-theine. I used a probiotic, creatine, magnesium at night. So these supplements then helped boost my body immune system. And I tell you the truth, I haven't been sick in four years. I haven't had the flu, I haven't had a cold, nothing. So all these things factored together made me stronger. And then with the psychological part coming along, that helped keep me on flow and continuing my routine. And one thing we did too was we kept a scoreboard. That's the third quarter. First quarter was defense. That's mostly the traditional medicine. Second quarter is offense. That's where we started doing the things on supplements and exercise and those type of things that improve the body. The third quarter, I look back at my body. I took pictures of myself in my underwear for 4 years. And so I could see a gradual change in my body. My hump in my shoulder was lessening. My body was getting slimmer. My pot belly went away. I was standing taller and straighter. So then the next year, I started out at 182 pounds. The next year, I got down to 162. And there was starting to see a dramatic change in my health and my physical condition. And it might sound funny to do that without your clothes, but that's how you can see yourself better. You can see if you're having one shoulder too high, your hands aren't level, how your feet look, how your legs are structured. They all play into it. So it was a little bit of self-evaluation that I was doing. The fourth quarter was devoted to the mental and the emotional game plan. And I needed something to help structure my life. And my psychologist came up with a program utilizing mastery and pleasure. I needed mastery in my life, that I was having things that I could accomplish. Pleasure was things that I didn't do anymore once I had Parkinson's, because I needed to have fun. And one day my wife said to me, "Bob, you got to get back and you got to smile a little. You got to enjoy life." The other part of the mastery and pleasure was pocket cards. Pocket cards were little 3x5 cards, and you write on one side that what an issue would be, like going to dance clubs. And you turn it over. What's the consequence of that? And I would have them in my pocket all the time, and I would be able to stop and look at them and say, "Bob, you don't need to do this." And I'd flip over the card, and it would tell the consequences of those actions. So that was a big step in getting the compulsive behavior problems out of the way. The next part we worked on was how to develop a new community. With Parkinson's and stopping work, you lose contact with people. You're alone a lot. So what I did was I started to reach out to different groups. There's all kinds of things you can do for volunteering. And I worked participating in a Peddling for Parkinson's program. And then I started journaling. And that became the background and basis for the playbook. Because being a Parkinson's guy, I didn't choose to retire. Because people would come up to me and ask me, "How are you enjoying retirement, Bob?" And I'd say, "I'm not retired. I'm a writer." And that gave me something in my life to accomplish. And I knew that I needed to tell my story so others could hear it. And the book's really personal about all the things I went through. But people needed to have something that they could hang their hat on, that something that worked for the person, and it wasn't high tech stuff. So then as I go through the fourth quarter, I start looking at TED videos and happiness and how there's, if you do five things for a week, it can change your personality. And the one point I remember the most is random acts of kindness. Everybody helped me along the way. And those kindness that they did, I need to return to them. When I had cataracts and was getting drops in my eyes by my wife, I'd say thank you. So that kind of pattern helped ingrained in me that you need to help other people and not be strike out on your own a little bit more.
Well, Bob, I just want to share that you're brave because you actually put those photos in your book, and yeah. It is a major transformation. I mean, what people have got to do is, you know, get your book, The Parkinson's Playbook, because you can see clearly you're reversing your age. To me, you're reversing the disease, and the physical changes are so profound, so profound. Gosh, I can only tell, say that it's just such an inspirational book. I plan on using your book for every one of my Parkinson's patients. I'm going to recommend it to all of them.
Great.
To get before we start our program, because you give such great information on what you can do for yourself to be empowered, get in control. Right. And your journey is, to me, such a huge success. I'm really, really happy that we got to speak here today. I'm so sorry that we have like no time now. But I want to ask, is your book available now? Because I just know that your book was given to me, sent to me by your publisher. Thank you so much. But is it available out on Amazon? Where can we get it?
It's on Amazon. And actually, the book just was launched September 26th, so it's only been out a real short time, but Amazon's where you can find it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for, you know, putting this together, because I think it's going to be awesome for anyone who's got not just Parkinson's. I think it's really great for anyone who's got neurological issues. Thank you. All right. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.